I wonder, have you ever taken a selfie? A selfie. The older people in the congregation are now looking at the preacher as if he has two heads. And you're wondering to yourself, what is a selfie? What on earth is a selfie? Well, translation time for the older generation. You're not savvy with the word selfie. It just means to take a photograph of yourself. There's a lot of people today, they've got their gadgets, their mobile phones, iPhones, whatever, Samsung, whatever it is. And they take selfies. They hold the device in front of them, big smile on the face, maybe other people in the picture, and they snap the photo. It's a selfie. I have never taken a selfie. And just to let you know, I don't intend ever to take a selfie. Bad enough whenever somebody else takes a photograph of you, but even worse, to take a photograph of yourself. But I believe in Romans chapter 7, Paul takes a selfie. Here we have a selfie in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. Now, there's no camera involved because this book is the camera. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then the answer, as it were, comes back. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here we have Paul's selfie. It's just as if he's taking a photograph of his soul, and he says that it's wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, here's the exclamation. The exclamation. Paul exclaims, oh, wretched man that I am. It's an exclamation because of the exclamation mark. You notice it there after the word am. Boys and girls, I'm sure you're learning at school, or you will learn about an exclamation mark. You know the line with the dot at the bottom of it. It's an exclamation. It means that whatever you're saying it with passion, with real passion. You really mean what you're saying. You're not just whispering, oh, wretched man that I am. No, it's an exclamation. You're shouting it, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, I can just hear the cogs of your brain going over, and you're saying, well, how could the great apostle Paul say these words? Ah, you've made a cardinal error. You've made a mistake. Because you know what you've done? You've put Paul up on a pedestal. And I'm not putting you on a guilt trip. I'm not criticizing you today. Because I do the same. And all Christians, we've all done it. We've all made this mistake. We have put Paul on the pedestal. And we talk about the great apostle. And by the way, we do it with other Bible characters too. We even do it, sad to say, I suppose we make the mistake of talking about preachers today and of a bygone era, the great so-and-so. I've made that mistake. We put people on a pedestal. They're superhuman, they're super holy, super spiritual. Well, I want to say that Paul, if he was here today, he would be the first one to say, don't call me great. Because I'm wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am. You notice that Paul doesn't say, oh, wretched man that I was. Oh, wretched man that I was. Oh, well, I used to be a bit of a character, and I've made mistakes in the past, but all that's gone now. I'm so holy today. Oh, I'm way up there. You Christians at Rome, you have a lot of catching up to do with me. No, that wasn't Paul. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. And remember, please remember, this verse is going to be read out to all those Christians at Rome. Don't think that this is a private letter just sent from one individual to another. Paul is writing this to a church. It's just as if I have already done it. I stood up today. I've read Paul's letter. I've read what Paul said. And how many times has this book, the book of Romans, been read in churches and congregations? By the way, wasn't it through the book of Romans that John Wesley was converted? But Paul says, he exclaims, "O wretched man that I am." You see, Paul here, he's speaking about the battle within his heart. He's speaking about the struggle within his life. And you see, he's speaking about what we could term the dual nature. The dual nature within the Christian. Child of God, today the Bible teaches that you have two natures within you today. For those in the service this morning who are not believers, if you're not born again, you've only got one nature, and it's an evil nature. The Bible says that you've got the old man, old Adam, we could say. That old nature that you inherited from your father, and he inherited from his father, it's been passed down the generations. The theologians call it original sin, and we've all got it. We get it. The moment we're conceived in the womb, David the psalmist, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Oh, it's the old nature, the sinful nature. If you're not saved today, come to Christ. Let him deal with the old man. But if you are saved today, you've not only got the old man, you've got a new man. You have two natures. The new nature that Christ gave to you the moment you were saved. That nature that has a pull heavenward. It draws you after things that are pure and holy. Things that are righteous. Things that are good for your soul, things that will bless your soul. That's the new nature. It creates within you a longing, a hunger for this book. It's the nature that makes you want to pray. It's the nature that makes you want to come to the house of God, to come to the prayer meeting. It's the new nature. Do you have that nature today? Paul had that nature. But he also had the old nature. He had a dual nature. And this is why he cries out, "O wretched man that I am." It's just as if Paul is saying, "I'm torn in two directions." I don't know whether you've ever read any titles by the author Robert Louis Stevenson. He wrote Treasure Island, probably his most famous work. But he also wrote Jekyll and Hyde. Or it's called The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's a story, of course, about the doctor, Dr. Jekyll. But there was the split personality, the two natures or the two sides to this man. Because in a certain situation, he would turn into a monster of a man, into Mr. Hyde. And there, as we think about that, it's almost as if Paul is saying that in my life, there's Dr. Jekyll, but also there's Mr. Hyde. In my life, yes, There's that which is good and wholesome, but in my life and in my heart there's a pull, there's a bias, there's a bent toward that which is wrong and evil and sinful and that which grieves the Lord. And he cries out, "O wretched man that I am," but notice what he goes on to say. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You see, Paul is speaking here about the dual nature of the believer, but he speaks about the dual within the believer. Now, it's a different spelling, D-U-E-L, dual, a battle, a fight. There's the D-U-A-L, the two natures in the Christian, but Paul speaks about the dual, the D-U-E-L, the war in the Christian's life between these two natures. If you don't believe that there's a battle in a Christian's life, a struggle in a believer's life, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. Chapter 5. And verse 17. Galatians 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You will notice again that Paul is speaking in the present tense, not the past tense. He says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. He doesn't say, oh, the flesh lusted against the spirit, way back in the dim, distant past. No, he's talking about the present, even in his own life. This battle, this duel, the flesh, the old man lusting against the spirit of God. There's an exclamation, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, Paul's speaking there about an illustration. It's not only an exclamation here in this text. There's an illustration. When Paul speaks about the body of this death, he's speaking about a practice, a custom that took place in his day. Do you know what it was? Whenever a person had committed murder, do you know how the Romans punished that person? You know how the Romans punished that individual, that murderer? They would bring the murderer in to where the body lay, to where the corpse was. They would lay the murderer, the killer, down face to the ground. And they would take the body of the dead person, the person that he had murdered, and they would tie that dead corpse to the back of the murderer. Hand to hand, feet to feet. And the killer, the murderer, would have to carry that dead body the rest of his life. Carry around on his back the corpse for the rest of his days. Well, I tell you, he wouldn't have lasted very long. Because there was corruption, there was decay, there was putrefaction in the dead body, and the corpse, the dead body, was attached to his body, his living body. My, the death would pass from the dead body to the living body. And Paul is saying, oh Lord, as I live down here on this earth, Lord, as I live in the body, it's just, Lord, as if I'm hauling this corpse on my back all the time. The old nature, the old man. Lord, it's just as if I'm being punished here, just like the murderer. It's, Lord, I'm having to carry this deadness, this corruption everywhere I go. And he cries out, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul wants deliverance. You see, every Christian, every true Christian wants deliverance from the body of this death. We all want deliverance from the infirmities and the iniquities of this life. We do. But that brings me to the jubilation. You see, we have the exclamation, the illustration that Paul used, but thank God there's jubilation. Paul starts off in anguish and misery as he cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But he finishes with jubilation. There's a different mood now because Paul says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the answer. Now what's the question? Paul is saying here, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the answer. By the way, you can read in Romans, later on in Romans, you know one of the titles of the Savior is the Deliverer. The Deliverer. The Old Testament prophet cried out that the Lord would send a Deliverer to Zion. Jesus is the Deliverer. And you will notice that Paul doesn't say, what shall deliver me from the body of this death? What shall deliver me? No, he says, who? Who shall deliver me as a person? Paul realizes that he needs a person to deliver him. And it is a person who came 2,000 years ago as the great deliverer for sinful men. Even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God that Christ is the one who delivers us from the body of this death. My, there's a lovely verse in Philippians. Turn with me as we finish today to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20, Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Here's the deliverance. Who shall change our vile body? Remember the body of death that Paul spoke about? The body, the human body with all its iniquity and infirmity, weakness. Paul says that it's Christ, the Deliverer, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. You know, that's one reason why I'm looking forward to the return of Christ. It's why I'm looking for the blessed hope, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know why? It's because He's going to change this vile body. See this preacher today standing before you. Yes, he's got a shirt and tie and a suit. His hair is combed, but he's got a vile body. And before you start to smirk and snigger, you've got one too. You've got a vile body with infirmities, with iniquities, with all the weaknesses and frailties of what it is to be human. But here's the encouragement for everyone today in this service who is a believer. One day you're going to get a new body. No more iniquity. No more sin. Isn't that what Revelation 21 speaks about, all the no mores in heaven? One of them, no more sin. There's going to be no sin in heaven. Nothing that defileth shall enter therein. Oh, we'll have new bodies. No more sin, no more iniquities, no more infirmities. All the weaknesses of this life will be gone forever. Oh, thank God for the jubilation that Paul speaks about. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.